Welcome to Talks with Camelot, Hypable.com's podcast all about the BBC show Merlin. I am Jess, and I am joined this week by Selena and Patricia. How are you ladies doing?
Excellent.
We're good.
That's good.
we're fine.
Well, this week we are going to be continuing along with our rewatch of Merlin. And we're going to be discussing episode 111, which is The Labyrinth of Gedref. And
or is it Gedref?
Gedref.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Anyway.
It works. Anyway. And this is one of my favorite episodes of the series. I remember the first time I saw this episode, I really loved it. Just because of all the fantastic Arthur character building and then the wonderful Merlin-Arthur moment at the end. But what about you guys? Like, overall, do you remember your initial thoughts, like, the first time you saw this episode versus your rewatch?
I think I liked it. Like, this is actually one from season one that I remember, because when I started watching it, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this episode. Because some of the other ones I haven't remembered. But, so I really did like it. And I loved, like you said, the Arthur, like, character development.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Selena?
Well, I first watched this in, like, 2008, so I have no idea what I thought. Oh, whatever, the show premiered. But when I watched it today, I really liked it. Although I do have to say, there was one point, I think about 30 minutes into the episode, I was so confused because there was no labyrinth. And I was like, I really remember there being like a sea and stuff, and I'm like, what is happening? So that really threw me off for a while. Yeah. But I mean, a lot happened in this episode. It was like 3 in 1. But I loved this episode. I thought it was almost better than last week. No, it wasn't better than last week, but it definitely was up there. Some really, really great Arthur moments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's go ahead and dive into our discussion so we can talk about some of those moments that we loved. So the episode opens up with Arthur and the knights and, of course, Merlin on a hunt. And good old Arthur sends Merlin into the bush to try to get the flesh out the creature that they don't know what it is. Merlin's like, really? But so he goes in there and he discovers that it's a unicorn. And you can just tell that, you know, Merlin is completely enamored by this gorgeous creature, and he tries to tell the unicorn to flee, and when it doesn't, he shouts out to Arthur not to shoot, but of course Arthur does anyway. And when Arthur comes in, he is like, cool, I got a unicorn. And Merlin's like, you know, very upset and says, what have you done? And Arthur comes back, don't be such a girl. And you know, he just doesn't get it at all.
This part really made me laugh. I don't know about you guys, but I thought it was so silly. And especially Merlin's, this expression on Merlin's face, like, it was so over the top. He was so freaking excited about that damn unicorn. And it was just like, it's moments like this where we're like, oh yeah, this is a children's show. And it's funny with BBC series, because Doctor Who does the same thing, where it'll be, like, terrifying and horrible and people die and it's, like, really, really dark. And then suddenly it's like, la, 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 pudding, or whatever the hell that was. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's really silly. Like, it sort of strikes a... I don't even know what's happening right now. It sort of strikes a fine balance, is what I'm trying to say. And sometimes that balance isn't so much a balance, it's just, like, two blocks and you, like, knock them over.
I actually completely followed that and
that's
agree with
great.
You.
Great. I'm glad you did.
So as Arthur is, you know, all excited over his kill, and Merlin's just like, oh, what'd you do? Merlin sees the visage of a shrouded man.
Gandalf the Grey.
Right. And it seems nobody else can see this guy, and he kind of disappears. So it's just, you know, very ominous, like, ooh, what's going to happen? So back at Camelot, Arthur presents Uther with the unicorn horn. You know, sometimes we're talking about the show.
I know.
It's so, like, tongue twisty. Arthur and Uther.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, random. So he presents Uther with the unicorn horn, and they're both, of course, very excited about the trophy. And Gaius warns that there's a legend that misfortune will befall those who kill a unicorn. And naturally, Uther's like, oh, psh, nah, scoff, you're dumb, like, whatever, we're fine. And so once again, like, it amazes me with Uther, because he is so against he's so against sorcery, but yet any time like Gaius tries to come to him with something about magic or whatever, he just completely scoffs at it, and every time it's true, and he gets so mad, and I'm just like, I just want to like smack him, bang his head up against the wall and be like, why don't you pay attention?
I guess that's like the one of the downsides to the show is that, again, speaking of it being a bit of a children's show, it means that they have to keep the storyline really similar from week to week, which means that in some ways the characters get to develop, and in other ways they kind of have to stand still. And this is one of the ways. Mm-hmm. Like, they need, it's a trope within the show. Arthur can never believe magic when Merlin, and he says, there's magic. Magic, Merlin, I never noticed that before.
Yeah, so it's annoying. And so then Arthur is, you know, they're, Arthur and Merlin are in Arthur's room, and he's telling him, like, this is what I need you to do today, blah blah blah. But Merlin is just completely lost in thought about the unicorn, and he kind of comes against Arthur and is almost chastising him, like, what was the purpose in killing that creature? It's such a beautiful creature. And Arthur's just like, we were on a hunt, like,
yeah,
that's what you do. And then he looks under the bed and gets all mad because he finds rat droppings, which is a really random thing to bring up, but it actually is something that plays throughout the entire episode for a little comedy. But right as that happens, he is summoned by Uther, and he goes and meets Uther out in the fields, and they see that all of the crops are dead. And just, you know, the day before, they had been out riding, and all the crops were flourishing and healthy, and they're now dead. So Uther tells him that Gaius is going to be running some tests on the crops. I love how at this point, Uther still is, like, the court physician.
I know. Mm. I noticed that, too. I was like, why didn't he just say Gaius is going to be running tests?
Like Arthur doesn't know who Gaius is.
I know.
But so yeah, Gaius is going to be running tests on the crops to try to figure out what disease has afflicted them.
I like seeing Uther out and about, like, you know, like when he's riding or when he's like out in the field. I don't know why, but I like it. He's like, he's a bit of a hands-on king.
And it's rare when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why I like it, because he is most of the time, like, in the castle and has Arthur do everything for him, like, outside. Mm-hmm. So it is nice when he kind of goes out.
Gets involved,
well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
True. So naturally, Merlin believes that it's magic and, of course, you know, connects it with the unicorn. And Gaius says that he exercises his caution and says they have to wait before they yell the magic card. So the castle starts to distribute rations to the people, but it's very limited what they have in their stores, and, you know, people are starting to kind of panic a little bit, and there's looting going on, and so it's just getting to be a very tense situation. And so Uther enacts a curfew, and they're just trying to keep a handle on everything so it doesn't go out of control. And then we get to see Gwen going to the water pump, and she goes to pump water, but only sand comes out. So now the ante has been upped. Like, not only do they not have food, now they don't have any water, which kind of a big deal. Yeah. You know, you can't survive very long without water. And so Gaius, like, really has no explanation for that and can only conclude that it is indeed sorcery. So we see Merlin. Yes. Merlin is trying to use magic to turn sand back into water, and Gaius walks in on him. And this is one of those rare moments where Gaius is like, I hope you're using your magic, because this is a time where we need your magic. Like, this is what it's for. But Merlin is unable to do so. So then Arthur is out at night, sending all the knights off on their errands, and he comes across Merlin, and they're outside talking about you know, you better go in. I don't want to have to arrest my own servant for being out after curfew. And while
I
they're
like
out in the
this moment
courtyard.
between them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just like the moment between them. I thought it was
Okay.
nice. Like, I thought it was, it's a very, very good dynamic. The two of them are like solving this mystery together. Even if grudgingly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. So Arthur spots the shrouded man that Merlin had seen earlier, and he's going into the castle. So the two give chase, and we get some quite humorous moments between them where Arthur's trying to use hand signals to tell Merlin what to do, and Merlin has no idea what's happening. And so they're running around, but they can't find him. And then he shows up when he decides to show himself, is when they're finally able to talk to him. And so he introduces himself as Anhora, Keeper of the Unicorns. And he tells Arthur that Arthur is responsible for the misfortunes befalling Camelot, because when he killed the unicorn, a curse was released because unicorns are such pure creatures. And he tells Arthur that he will be tested and he must pass those tests, that if he fails, Camelot will be doomed. And so this is kind of one of those moments where Arthur has to decide if he believes this guy or if he does not. If he thinks that, you know, it's just complete fallacy, and naturally Arthur's first instinct is to not take the blame on himself.
You
and
know
so we
what
get...
I think is mm-hmm. weird? I mean, not so much that Arthur doesn't believe Merlin, because that's, again, we said, that's the trope. What I think is weird is that we're in this kingdom where, yeah, magic is outlawed, but magic exists. Like, that's why it's outlawed.
Right.
So I think it's so funny that every time something magical is happening, they're like, that can't possibly be magic. There must be another
exactly.
explanation for this.
Exactly. It really is crazy.
It really is.
I think in this specific instance, a lot of it isn't so much that Arthur doesn't want to believe it's sorcery, so much as he doesn't want to believe that it's because of him. Like, mm-hmm. he believes that it's magic, but he wants to believe that it's the evil sorcerer bringing
right, that's true.
Doom to Camelot as opposed to his actions. Mm-hmm. Because for all of his faults, and Merlin even says this later on, for all of Arthur's faults, he really does care about the people. And so the idea that he caused all this misfortune and misery just is almost too much for him to bear.
Yeah. But it's still weird that he's so willing to, you know, he, yeah, but I guess that's a good point. I don't know what I was trying to say. Carry on.
Well, I think the fact that it took them so long to believe, like, it took water turning into sand.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
It. You know, they denied it as long as they could. So Merlin and Gaius are discussing whether or not the curse is real while they drink tea made from Merlin's bath
that
water.
That was so gross.
It was so gross.
But you know what?
It's not bad. It just tastes a little soapy.
It was gross, but it was also, like, I think one of the most real sort of this is what living in medieval times was like moments that we have mm-hmm. on the show. Like in mm-hmm. this episode, like what they had to do, because there would be times when they ran out of water, when they ran out of food. And if it was that or starve or, you know, die of thirst. There was no other way. Mm-hmm. And even though they sort of, they kept it very clean this episode, they didn't actually show anybody starving or dying or whatever, it was still, that was what they would have to do. There was a source of water there. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I actually do think they did a really good job this episode of keeping it, like you said, clean, but showing the severity of the situation, like with the bathwater, and later when Morgana has to go around asking for food from Arthur, and, you know, moments like that.
Yeah.
It helps you realize, like, oh, this is pretty dire. But yeah, so they are not very happy about the soapy tea. And Gaius just, again, is like, Merlin, you have to help Arthur see sense before it's kind of too late for everybody. So Merlin goes and he's talking to Arthur again and asks if he's given any more thought to what Anhora said. And Arthur is still convinced that Anhora is the one responsible, that it's not his fault. And Merlin then confesses to Arthur that he saw Anhora after the unicorn was killed and suggests that he really is telling the truth, but Arthur still doesn't believe it, and he thinks that he knows what Anhora's next move is going to be. So we get this scene that, again, is really cute and humorous when it starts out of Merlin and Arthur kind of hiding out near the grain stores, waiting to see if Anhora comes, and Merlin's like smacking his lips because he's thirsty. I love these moments between the two of them where like they still like they're teasing each other, but it's still like a good-natured fun banter between friends, and I love those moments. But anyway, so they see somebody going into the grain stores and follow after, thinking it's Anhora, but it is a man who names himself as Evan and is stealing the grain, and he says that he has children starving and he wants to get it for them. And Arthur's like, you know, everybody has starving children, but we can't support thieves. But rather than arresting Evan, he shows compassion on him and tells him to go home.
That was wonderful.
But that if he comes back, he won't be able to spare him again. And then he furthers it as Evan is leaving when he stops and he gives him the grain anyway and tells him to, you know, use it sparingly. And Evan says that he has shown himself to be merciful and kind and that it will bring its own reward. And then the next morning, the water has returned. So this moment is so good because, again, it just shows how truly compassionate Arthur is and how much he loves his people. And I love it.
Yeah, and it also shows, like, how he'll be once he's king. Mm-hmm. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, this is season one, so these moments are really crucial because you don't know what he's going to be like as a king because, you know, Uther's so different. But, like, these moments really show you, okay, we can expect this from him once he's king.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great. And they do, actually, I have been really impressed watching season one again, how much they set Arthur up as, I mean, they, you know, people are complaining when they watch Merlin and they prefer the character of Merlin. I hear a lot of people complain that really the show seems to be more about Arthur. And I'm not sure, I mean, I agree. I think we get a lot more of Arthur's personality than we get Merlin's personality in this first season. Like, I know who Merlin is, I see his personality, but Arthur's is so clearly laid out. Like, it's so black and white. It's so clearly, this is who this guy is. He has all these speeches. He has all these character moments that are so defining that it's so obvious who this guy is. And I personally think that's great because, well, I remember watching it. I was a bit younger. I wasn't paying as much attention. I was like, oh, Arthur's such a jerk. I don't like him, blah, blah, blah. Watching it again, I'm like, he's not a jerk. Everything he does makes sense, even when he's mean. I mean, we're going to get to the rat moment in a second. I remember watching that for the first time. I was like, Arthur, that's a horrible person. How could he do that? And then watching it now, I'm like, well, Merlin did it first. Like, it makes sense. So I really, watching it now, like, knowing what I'm looking for, like, I really, really enjoy all the time they spend building Arthur up so that when they later tear him down and make him a bit more of a jerk, we still know that at heart, he is this good person, you know?
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And I mean, even though this show is called Merlin, and Merlin is the main character, the protagonist, Merlin's life is so connected to Arthur mm-hmm. that it's impossible to have the show be about Merlin and not also about Arthur. Yeah. And I mean, these moments with Arthur are so important for Merlin. Mm-hmm. He needs to see these things in Arthur so that he is willing to fight so hard for Arthur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Like, these things have to happen because if we didn't have these moments with Arthur and it was still like the way it was in the first couple episodes, Merlin would still be like, really? I gotta save this idiot again? Like,
mm-hmm.
like it wouldn't have the same depth and meaning, and Merlin wouldn't, like, it wouldn't make sense, Merlin's unwavering loyalty and mm-hmm. just steadfastness.
That's a really good point. And it's a good, you know, it's a good thing as well. Like, Arthur is the king. Arthur is the king of Camelot. And what Merlin is fighting mm-hmm. for is Camelot as well. It's making him the Arthur the King of Camelot, and the whole premise of the show is that Arthur can't be who Arthur needs to be without Merlin. So it's about Arthur, but it's seen through. It's I think the show is Arthur seen through Merlin's eyes, which makes Arthur, which makes Merlin the protagonist, but which makes Arthur the focus of the show. And I know people listening might be sort of like, "Oh no, you're wrong. This is about Merlin." But by Merlin making it all about Arthur, that makes it the show about Arthur, because it's Merlin's show. Right. If that makes sense,
right? Yeah, no, it totally
like
does.
Like, if Merlin was focused on Gwen and it was all about helping Gwen out and following her around and making her the queen, then the show would be about Gwen, even though it's Merlin's show, you know?
And right,
it's fun
absolutely.
To see it that way, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's completely true. And, I mean, you see that done so often in different books and things, like even, like, the other Boleyn girl, for example. Like, it's told through the sister Mary, I think. It's been a really long time. But it's still, like, it's told through her perspective, so there's times where we're taken away from the court of Anne and King Henry, but it's still telling that story. So, I mean, that's definitely something that people do, and it, I don't know, I agree. Anyway. So, after the water returns, Merlin tells Arthur that he believes that moment with Evan was a test and that the water was the reward. And he suggests that they seek Anhora out. And Arthur is, you know, kind of starting to maybe believe him. And so he goes to check on the guard. And while he's gone, Merlin finally finds the rat crawling through the hole he chewed in Arthur's boot. And he kills him. And so outside, Arthur sees that more people have come from the outlying villages in search of food from the castle, because it's just everybody's starving, not just in the direct vicinity of Camelot. And so it's just the situation is becoming very dire, because they hardly have enough food to support the people in Camelot, let alone in the entire kingdom. And then we also get this short moment with Morgana and Gwen out there.
Great.
And Gwen's stolen food from the kitchen so that they can start to distribute it amongst the people. And so again, just showing this short little moment to show the heart that Morgana has and the friendship between her and Gwen, which just makes what happens later even more horrible. But for now, it's just such a nice moment. And again, reaffirms these two women's characters.
And how nice was her outfit? Morgana's. Like, wow. That white fur thing, that was amazing.
I know.
And it's so good because it just shows how brilliant and pure, and you know, she's wearing white because she's pure like the unicorn, and how nice she is, you know, how uncorrupted.
Doesn't she wear black fur later, like in the later
yeah
yeah she gets her Bellatrix on.
Yep.
So then Arthur is with Merlin, and you know, Merlin's trying to serve him food, and he's like, "I don't have my appetite anymore because all this stuff is happening." And so he asks Merlin if he really thinks that what's happening is because of the unicorn. And he finally agrees that, you know, maybe they should seek Anhora out. And Merlin's like, "You need to eat your stew. Eat up. You need your energy." And so Arthur starts to eat, and he's like, "Ooh, this is an interesting texture." And he's like, "What is this?" It's and strange. Merlin tells him it's pork. He's like, "No, this is definitely not pork." And then I love the moment when Arthur realizes it, and he just is, you can just see on his face. It's rat. It's... And so he, of course, like Selena mentioned, makes Merlin eat it, and he's like, "There's plenty more."
Yeah, that was a much better moment than I remember it.
Yeah, oh, it's hilarious. But it is true, it's just like, and I love this moment, because like you were saying earlier, Selena, like, yeah, Arthur then makes Merlin eat it, but Merlin was pranking Arthur first.
And then when Morgana comes in, they're both like,
they both are like looking at it like, but I love this because it shows like they really do have like a dude friendship, you know? Because this is the type of stuff that guys do to each other. Like they prank and they play tricks and play jokes and like I don't know, it makes their relationship real. Like these are the moments that take it away from servant and master and make it an equal friendship to me. So I liked the moment.
Me too.
Yeah, it was funny.
So Merlin and Arthur finally head out into the woods to chase after Anhora, and Arthur comes upon Evan again, and he's all set up in the forest with all this food, like feasting, and he tells him that he was like, you know, did you really believe the story about the kids and blah blah blah, and so then he begins to taunt Arthur, like, your father never would have let this happen. He would have arrested me. You're weak. Uther must be ashamed of you. And at first, Arthur's like, I have other business, and tries to ignore him, but he just keeps taunting and just is hitting all of Arthur's chords, like hitting all of his buttons and all of the things that Arthur's afraid of. And so he tells him to pick up his sword and he begins to fight him. And Evan continues to taunt him as they're fighting. And right when Arthur takes a blow that would have killed Evan, Evan disappears, and then Anhora is there. And Anhora's like, you know, did you kill this man? And he says, you know, he's saying all this stuff, and he's like, so you would kill a man just for your pride?
This
And
was a
tells him that
stupid test. It
Yeah.
really was.
I think it was
It really
stupid because he didn't just, I mean, I don't know, maybe he did, but it wasn't just the pride thing. I mean, Evan had taken all the food, and Evan threatened him first. Like, it was hardly a, like, I will kill you because you insulted me. It was a, we're fighting for real here. Like, I don't know. It seems, but then Anhora doesn't seem that fair, does he? He thinks Arsa is a douchebag.
I think maybe like what he was saying is even if Arthur was going to fight him, like Arthur's a good enough swordsman that he could have disarmed him and then like arrested him instead of killing him.
Actually, I forgot about like this scene, and I kind of thought that that might be like what happened, and then, you know, he ends up like about like killing him basically, and I was like kind of surprised.
Yeah, I mean that is kind of an extreme. I get like
But
if
then
I don't know.
he's a warrior though. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just this is like
I
in Once
mean,
Upon a
it's a
Time when Snow
warrior,
was gonna kill
but
that woman. I was like, whatever.
he is a warrior, but he's also training to be the king, and you know, he still has to be fair to his subjects. I don't know. Like I do think that killing him was a bit
He was
extreme.
annoying though. I was
Oh
on your
gosh,
side,
don't ever get
Arthur.
on Selena's nerves.
I've been training a lot of kicks and punches, guys. I don't know. Just
Yeah, maybe your idea of like the nerd camp, whatever, with like isn't
maybe.
a good idea to
Nerd
train
camp?
Selena
This
in
is fandom boot camp. What are you calling it, nerd camp?
sword play and archery.
Wow.
She'll start killing us all.
Nerd camp.
I couldn't remember what you called it. I just remember it
Well,
was nerdy for all of us
I
nerds.
prefer fandom boot camp. It sounds much better.
Hey, I'd still go if it was
Yeah,
all
you're
nerd
right, I would
camp.
too. You're that's right.
I kind of create my own nerd camp in my backyard. It's okay. Anyway, but so Anhora tells him that he failed the test and Camelot will suffer greatly. So when they get back, they find out that the grain stores that they had within the Camelot granaries, vaults, whatever it is, have all rotted. So like they have no food now. Like it's all gone. And so again, to bring this fact home, we get a scene between Merlin and Gaius where they're talking and Merlin's kind of defending Arthur and saying like he does care about the people. He may be stubborn and a prat sometimes, but he really does care about the people. And then Merlin and Gaius get ready to eat what appear to be like scarab beetles
I
or
know.
some kind of
It's
nasty,
cockroaches, right?
nasty. Or were
No,
they? I thought
they
they were
weren't
beetles.
cockroaches. They were beetles. They're big beetles. I don't know what
They look
kind.
like gummy bears. too.
What kind of gummy bears do you have in
No,
the
the
jar?
inside. I think it
Looks
was
like
gummy bears.
caramel or something.
Maybe.
Oh. Yeah, they were gross. It was just a disgusting scene, pretty much. Like, oh. But it definitely made the situation real, seeing them eat those. But so then we get this scene between Arthur and Uther, and this is one of those fantastic scenes. I love these moments where we get to see Uther being a jerk, as always, and Arthur standing up to him and showing the kind of king that he will be. Uther tells Arthur that they must stop distributing food to the people because they need to save it for the army. And Arthur suggests that they ask for help from the neighboring kingdoms, but Uther's like, no, they'll realize that we're weak and they will attack us. And besides, where's your pride? Like, we can't admit to everybody that we don't have any food and we're in trouble. And of course, this is coming right on the heels of Arthur's test, where he brought upon all this doom to Camelot because he was prideful. And he comes against him and is like, no, I don't want to do this. And Uther says, you have to give this order. We're doing this. Too bad. And Arthur puts on his big boy pants and says, you have to give that order yourself. And Puck's like, yay! You tell him, Arthur. And Uther surprisingly says, okay. Which kind of took me by surprise, but what did you guys think about this moment between the two of them?
Well, clearly Arthur was feeling like guilty after that whole thing with Anhora and Evan, and he said like he made that comment about his pride not being part of it and everything, and he was feeling guilty. I really liked it though because he actually stood up to Uther.
Anything to add, Selena?
No, I think again, like this episode was just full of really great Arthur, not only character moments but development as well. We're slowly seeing him stick up to Uther. Last week he totally disobeyed him and went to Yeldor, and who knows how Uther reacted to that. But this time Uther's starting to see that Arthur maybe isn't like just the little mini Uther that he thought he was going to be, you know?
Definitely. So we then get to see a very dejected Arthur talking to Merlin about everything that's happening and how it's his fault, and he's just basically like he's just saying like stating what's happening and how horrible it is that it's his fault and how bad he feels. And Merlin just really cannot stand seeing Arthur suffer like this and hates to see him so dejected and self-deprecating, and so he goes out by himself to seek out Anhora. And he asks Anhora to give Arthur another chance. And because Merlin has such faith in Arthur that he would be able to pass the test and that his heart is pure, Anhora decides to give Arthur this chance. And he tells Merlin that Arthur must go to the Labyrinth of Gadreth, where he will face his final test. And that this is like the last chance that he gets. So Arthur prepares to go, and he tells Merlin that he must stay behind, but naturally Merlin follows because that's not happening. So Arthur arrives at the third task in the Triwizard Tournament, and
Pretty much.
yeah.
And the cup is waiting for him on the other side. So there you go.
Exactly. So he enters the labyrinth, and Merlin is not far behind him. And, we get lots of scenes and moments of them going through the maze, dead ends, turning around, and it gets kind of dizzy. But Merlin comes upon Anhora, and Anhora is there waiting, and he has a trap set for Merlin and captures him. And then Arthur finally gets out of the maze, and he comes upon Merlin sitting at a table with two chairs and two goblets on it. And Anhora tells him that this is the test, that there are two goblets, one filled with poison and one that's harmless to drink. All the liquid from both must be consumed, and each of them is only allowed to drink from a single goblet. So the two of them sit there for a while trying to riddle out how this is going to work. Arthur wants to be the one to drink the poison. Merlin wants to be the one to drink the poison, but they don't know which one's poison. And Arthur wants to figure out which one it is and drink it. And
Isn't it
then.
so wonderful? Like, they're both just so freaking noble. This is like two Harry Potters meeting, battling it out. And it's like,
It's true.
it's so cool and it's so nice to see. I mean, I know that there's like a part of for Arthur, it's like half, you're one of my subjects and I'm not going to see anyone else suffer for what I've done, and half, this is Merlin. There's no way he's dying. And for Merlin, it's probably like half, this is Arthur, and half, this is my destiny kind of thing. But it's just so great to see these two boys just being so non, because, this is not, that's not normal behavior. Like, this is hero behavior. And they're both like trying to out-hero each other.
Right.
And the whole time I'm waiting for that guy from The Princess Bride to come out of nowhere.
I know. They even had like a Frodo Sam. What was it? What's his face?
When,
Arthur
yeah,
had a
well,
quote.
Arthur says to Merlin that he's glad Merlin's
Yes,
there.
I'm glad you're with me, Samwise Gamgee. And I was like, oh my God.
It's so sweet,
It
though.
is. Seriously,
Again, you
though.
get to see this friendship that really does exist beneath the veneer of servant master.
Yeah, and it's just so great to see how much deeper it goes than anything else. Like, I really think Frodo and Sam and Merlin and Arthur are just, they're both two examples of that really, really incredible friendship, like epic friendship, that's sort of like the epitome of a bromance. You know what I mean? Like, they're doing it right, and I love it.
It's fantastic. It really, really is. So Merlin finally puts on his thinking cap and says that they can pour all the liquid into one goblet. And then, of course, Merlin's like, and I'll drink it. And Arthur goes, wow, Merlin, you really are smart
I
sometimes.
know.
And then he's like, oh, look over there.
I
Of course, falls for like the most ridiculous trick in the book, and Arthur pours all of the liquid into his goblet and then drinks it before Merlin can stop him. And so he, is like, ah, and then falls over, and Merlin is just devastated because he thinks that Arthur is dead,
And
and
can
he
we
begins
just
to.
Oh, go on, so I'm sorry.
I was just going to say he begs Anhora to let him take his place,
But
to
before
let him take off.
Anhora, before that happens, like, can we just take a moment to how sad this is? Because, I mean, knowing what we know, I mean, everybody knows, it's the DVDs are out in America, knowing that Arthur dies and Merlin is left behind, like, even in season one, he was like, can I please take his place? Don't let him die. And
So
it's
sad.
so funny as well. It's not funny, it's terrible. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's laughing or crying, guys. That you see him now, like, Merlin is clearly sad. He's clearly like, oh no, help him. This is terrible. I'm sad. And then you see him in season five, and he is just devastated. Like, it's so different because at this point he's like, oh yeah, I like Arthur, he's cool, I want to do this destiny thing, whatever. After in season five he's like, me and Arthur are like BFFs, I'm crossing my fingers right now, like, tight for life, this is, him and me against the world forever kind of thing. And the reason I'm speaking a little bit like gangster right now is because I've had all that like techno music pumping in my head all day, by the way. So that's why. He's my bro, man. But that is, though, you get my point. And it's just seeing that juxtaposition of those two, season one Merlin watching Arthur die, season five Merlin. It's so different and so much more tragic in season five, and it's just shows how much the characters have grown and how much the show has grown. To make it a little bit less sad, though, which isn't really, because there's no way to make that less sad, but is that I did think in this episode I sort of had a new sort of appreciation for the way Arthur died. I mean, we've said before, the sad thing about Arthur's dying isn't that Arthur dies, it's that Merlin's left on his own. That's still sad. But just seeing him in this episode, how he's so devastated because he's failed Camelot and he just wants to do anything he can to make it right any way he can, then by the end of season 5, when he's like, you know, you did it, you brought peace, Camelot's gonna be fine, it's like he got what he always wanted. So it's like, oh, mm-hmm. yay, that's good. Right?
This is kind of, oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is kind of random, but I really feel like I need to plug for our listeners. One of, over at Hypeable, one of our writers over yeah. there created this post about the final episode of Merlin, like the final mm-hmm. finale, and the reactions and GIFs. And it's so it brilliant. Is hilariously spot on. Like, yeah. it's brilliant.
It's Tariq did this. He's been on the podcast
Tariq
before.
Yeah, Tariq did it. And it's just spot on. Like, he goes through the whole episode with GIFs of every, like, the reactions to the whole thing. And I was dying when yeah. I looked through it because I was like, yeah. And I asked the friend that I had watched the finale with for the first time with. I made them look at it. I was like, those pretty much mirrored my facial expressions, didn't they? And he was like, yeah, pretty much.
yeah. I by the way, I want to, like, say a little bit. I made sure that the Just Hold Me scene was included in that. So I take credit for that particular link. But yeah, no, that was brilliant. Tariq did a fantastic job on that one.
Yeah, so definitely check that out if you haven't already. Yeah. But back to this, I also wanted to point out that it's kind of interesting that earlier in the season, Merlin drank a goblet of poison that for Arthur, mm-hmm, like to save Arthur's mm-hmm. life. And now we're getting Arthur drinking what he thinks is a goblet of poison to save Merlin's life.
So you're saying they're practically just married now?
Yeah. It's yeah. just, I just like the mirroring of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah. I absolutely agree with you.
Mm-hmm. But so then, of course, Anhora tells Merlin that it's just a sleeping draught.
That was so funny. Really, I laughed my ass off. And maybe it's just because I'm so tired. But, like, after all that drama, and I was like, oh, my God, season 5. And he's like, yeah, no, it's just a sleeping potion. Like, way to go, Gandalf. That was brilliant.
Right? So, yeah. But he tells Merlin that because Arthur was willing to sacrifice his life for Merlin, for a servant, this showed the purity of Arthur's heart and what really is inside of his heart. And so the curse will be lifted and Camelot will be saved. Yay! Mm-hmm. So they return to Camelot and they find that all the grain has been restored. And Uther's like, was this you, son? Did you kill that sorcerer? And Arthur's like, yeah, it's taken care of. So Uther's happy, and then Arthur tells Merlin that there's something they must do, and so they go out and they bury the unicorn horn that he had kept as a trophy, and he apologizes to the unicorn for killing it and says that he never should have, and as they're doing this, they look up, and the unicorn has been restored to life and is alive again.
They had to do this because, again, it's a children's show, and they mm-hmm. couldn't actually kill the sweet little unicorn.
So very nice, happy ending. Yay! but yes, that was the episode. So now that we've discussed everything, any other final thoughts that either of you would like to say?
I just really enjoyed this episode because they had so many of those, like, moments between Arthur and Merlin, and then just Arthur, like, showing his true character. And I don't know, I just really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did too. I just think this was so fun. Like, it's all the Arthur and Merlin moments. It's sort of both Morgana and Gwen were very, very much in the background, and Uther too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Anhora was not a particularly interesting villain for me. Like, especially except for the fact he looked like Gandalf, and he was kind of what I found interesting was that he judged Arthur straight away, and he was sort of like stuck in his judgment, even no matter what Merlin said. And it's also interesting, by the way, that he didn't recognize Merlin at all, because most people with magic do.
I know, that's true.
I was kind of thinking that too. I didn't know if he knew who Merlin really was or not.
But I mean, and again, the unicorn is one of the sillier things they ever do in the show. And you know, it's stuff like this where I can't help but wonder what the actors think when they get the script. And they're like, oh, we're battling a unicorn this week. That's fun. But no, I thought it was really, really great. And as an Arthur fan, I'm a fan of all of them, but as a maybe a little bit tiny more of an Arthur fan, I always enjoy these episodes where he is explored and he is allowed to have these crises of conscience and make the right choice. I like seeing that. I was actually wondering, I mean, isn't there some mythology, like
Yeah, I was going to
Arthurian
ask you
legend?
guys.
Yeah?
I can't remember any, but I was going to ask you guys if y'all knew of any legend tie-ins that we needed to discuss from this.
I can't think of anything. There
No.
probably is, but
No, I'm not sure. I feel like there is
yeah,
something, but I'm blanking right now.
I wasn't aware of anything. I mean, beyond the fact that just unicorns are creatures from every myth and pretty much everywhere,
I
so
mean, maybe if the listeners, if we're missing out here, because I feel like there's something, so you guys can please let us know, if you think of anything, and how can they do that? Let's tell them.
Oh, and how should they let us know? I was like, what? How can they? Yes, so there are lots of ways that you can contact us and let us know your thoughts about the
Well done.
episode, or if you know any legend tie-ins from this episode, or if you just want to talk about Nerd Camp.
Hashtag. I feel like that's gonna catch on.
Probably. You can follow us on Twitter at TalksCamelot. That's at TalksCamelot. I always get nervous when I spell things.
You did great.
I'm not the best speller anyway, and then spelling it in my head, I'm very visual. Anyway, so you can find us on Twitter, and we do tweet out fun questions and all of like the latest Merlin news and let you know what's happening. And you can also, of course, find us at hypable.com, HYPABLE. And you can comment on the show notes for this episode post or any of the other Merlin posts that we have there. Selena and Pamela are always posting anything that comes out for you guys. And we have a Tumblr.
We
You
do.
can find us on Tumblr, which is talksofcamelot.tumblr.com.
I just
And
reblogged a beautiful painting of Arthur Bradley James. It's gorgeous. I mean, if you guys take a look at it, I'm like, wow, I wish I could do that.
so yeah, lots of great things
Fun
over there that you
stuff.
can check out. Selena and Pamela are our Tumblr gurus, posting everything over there. And then, of course, you can find us over on iTunes, where you can subscribe to the podcast and you can also rate and review us there. So many different ways you can contact us and let us know your thoughts about anything Merlin related or not. Yeah, so that is it for this episode. And guys, we only have two more episodes left in season one.
No, and then we're stopping, right? That's it. No more. No, never.
Yeah, right. But that's crazy to think that we're almost at the end of our season one rewatch.
Know.
So it's fun. Yeah, so that's it. And we will be here again next week, where we discuss episode 112. So until then, bye guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.